Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back, and it is now or never, and I still get these frogs in my throat, so forgive me. And usually that happens because I just don't, you know, I got to warm up the old throat to kind of get these critters out. Anyway, it's Feedback Friday. Hope you're enjoying the ratification debates. And you know, the New York ratification debates, I cannot emphasize enough how insightful. I challenge anybody, if you really understand the Federalist Papers, then I challenge anybody to read what Hamilton writes in the Federalist Papers and how he goes about in the ratification debates arguing the same points. He is not nearly as forceful. He's very passive, and he's, you know, kind of watching himself because he understands, folks, here's a lawyer that's in front of everybody testifying what this Constitution means. And so he's not, he gets into theory. He gets into political theory and those types of things. But bottom line, he's basically stalling because he doesn't want to have to make grand assertions. He's hoping to find out that Virginia had just passed the ratified the Constitution. In so doing, he believes that that is all New York would need to get across the finish line. And he was right. Guy was very smart and very maniacal. Do not have a high opinion of that man. Anyway, anywho, we got a lot of things to cover. But what we want to do is kind of go through some news and get into some feedback. But more importantly, I think there's some things I really need to address. So I don't want to necessarily spend too much time going through the obligatories, other than I'll just kind of name those who we'd highly recommend you reach out and, you know, either buy, get with their products, and so forth. Wyoming Conservative Chronicle, check them out. Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching. You know what he does. You know he can do it. Get it done. Constitutional Education with Keith Broders. By the way, talk to him. He had COVID. He thought he was going to die. He's doing better. He's back on his feet. He sounded a lot different. But anyway, you know, we still have that patriot with us. If you need some education, contact Keith Broders. And by all means, let him kind of tailor some education for you. And with that, you can give him maybe some love and donate to, you know, what he's doing. Anyway, Timber Nation, hardwood furniture, all custom made. Myself, I'm looking at trying to get some more furniture from them. And by the way, folks, these are not compensations. I don't ask for discounts. I don't ask for freebies. I don't do anything like that. These are good patriot organizations, and hopefully later on this year, we're going to have some conversations with each of these again, like Gary Smith and those at Timber Nation and so forth. And I'd like to, you know, get them to start supporting the Constitution, Constitution efforts, Constitution campaigns, those types of things. So in other words, I'm hoping that I can get them to start actually providing some financial support for these candidates that we're endorsing so we can get them across the finish line. And so that's the whole goal here, folks. It's not about GR. It's actually about saving the Constitution, reclaiming the Republic. Stan Kluett with RadioDustCovers.com. Check him out. And look, I mean, if you need to protect your stuff, there you go. I can't say enough about what Stan Kluett's doing. Ben Carr with Ad Local. I asked him to do things for us. He's created a campaign, basically a turnkey campaign site. Very affordable, very good, supportive, quick. They've done it. If you need something, go with them and check out their pricing and work with them. Anyway, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. And with that, we've actually wrapped up with, oh shoot, I got 6 minutes to go. Usually I bleed into the next segment. So anyway, let me kind of slow down a little bit And let's kind of look at some of the crap that's going on with government and so forth. And what's really funny is they're all saying that, you know, if you get the vaccine, you weren't going to get it. And now they're saying, well, no, you're going to get it, but you'll be better off. Folks, I don't think anybody's better off that's gotten that vaccine. And as a matter of fact, the fact that the first dolt, and what I mean by the first dolt, I mean Biden, because he literally is, we could call him the constitutional or the unconstitutional clown, because he was not constitutionally seated. He technically is not our president. He's a president that was installed unconstitutionally by Congress. I can't go over this enough, but and we'll get into this in some detail. But I can't believe that there's not a lot, enough yammering on how he got this and how the ebbing and flowing. See, they don't want to necessarily go down the path of another lockdown or more draconian measures. That was okay when they forced that to happen with Trump. Isn't it interesting how they're, because here the president and other people, and there's a huge rise in this, and everybody's tiptoeing around their draconian, tyrannical measures. Anyway, some of the things we really want to get into is the 12th Amendment and this movement using the Constitution. So we'll get into that after I go through looking at some of the other things in the news. Now, one of the things that really pissed me off, and I'm not sure if you've heard about Pelosi and the Chinese saber rattling, and oh, by the way, I might as well just give you a heads up, there's a good chance we might actually get a denial of service again, just due to the fact that China doesn't like it when we're trash-talking them. Now, Pelosi is looking to get on a plane and go to Taiwan. I'm not sure if she's done this or not, but I heard about this week. And the fact that she's going out, anybody from Congress, anybody that's in a political office, flying to any foreign nation and having discussions about politics, other than ambassadors and those who report to the constitutional president. See, we have this network that is all fraudulent. We've got a bunch of clowns out there basically reporting to the constitutional or unconstitutional clown. So what Pelosi is doing, she is violating the Logan Act of 1799. During John Adams' presidency, he did not like and take kindly to, and he actually got Congress to pass an act to keep any emissary or any person trying to pose as an emissary to going and engaging in foreign talks with heads of states, governments, and so forth. We have a very delineated role and responsibility, and Congress does not have any authority to actually reach out and make any kind of international involvement and gestures, especially traveling abroad. It's one thing to be receptive to foreign ambassadors or foreign dignitaries that come here, but to go there and conduct business is absolutely unacceptable. This is a huge constitutional violation. And you're not going to hear any, as a matter of fact, Mutt and Jeff, or this concept of what the heck they're doing out of the White House and out of this whole progressive playbook. This, we're being set up, and we're constantly being set up. These folks have been kowtowing to China, and I think China actually wants to get us into a position where they can prove to the world that they have a level of control over the United States that it basically helps them strong arm and get a few other countries across the finish line, Taiwan being one of them. I cannot emphasize enough how the Constitution is very clear. We should not be making any of these types of entanglements. What we should have been doing for years and years and years is every time a country got into or is getting into some kind of harassment with with a foreign state like what China is doing, we should actually be reaching out and saying, you know what, we support liberty and we'll support your liberty. If you want to have an election and choose whether you want to become a state in the United States or and maintain your autonomy, the only thing you have to do is you just have to change your legal system, your language, and those types of things. But you can continue your religious practices for the most part, as long as what you do is supporting individual liberty and individual sovereignty in the U.S. Constitution. We do not believe in compulsion. We do not allow compulsion to exist, even though we're seeing many, many states and other tyrants in the United States using an iron fist in ruling people, using compulsion, trying to, you know, force and compel and even intimidate people to behave in very specific ways that they want them to behave. Anyway, so we absolutely need to start putting out, I would just say, the olive branch to all of these countries, Crimea, Ukraine. We've got to stop saying we will not support any military action unless you want to become a territory of the United States. And that way we close the door to, you know, all of these kinds of harassments. And this is the way we create alliances, and truly we move America into a trade position. As we start looking at this autonomy and the way this international system is working, it is all working against Western society, and more specifically, laser focused on destroying the United States and our Constitution. So, when we come back, one of the things we want to do is we want to talk about China's response to Pelosi going over there. See, more people are all consumed with the fact that she's going over there and how China's responding, instead of actually saying she has no business to go over there. And China, we'll talk about China when we come back, because I don't want to bleed into the breaks, these two promos. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so China is rattling their sabers, you know, and rightfully so, because they're trying to actually drown Taiwan in their urination, because they want to drown, and they've been getting away with drowning the people in Hong Kong, the good people in Nepal. And so they're going to continue. And as a matter of fact, what they are doing is this huge manipulation, because I've told you time and time again, the big thing that China has to offer is their labor force. They have an excess of people. This is why they don't care if they lose hundreds of millions of people. They're in the billions. And so, I mean, it's just a small fraction. And as a matter of fact, the more people they lose, the more profit that the Chinese Communist Party is making, because they don't have to take care of so many people. Now, they're making, they've got all sorts of industries, and they've got a lot of services like the live organ harvesting. They have, last time I heard, last time it was reported, there were four central primary hubs throughout China that you could fly into and go straight into a hospital and get your, you know, your liver. You could pay for your liver, whatever it is you want. You don't have to wait in some, you know, organ donor line in the rest of the world, because they have political prisoners, and they've matched all of their political prisoners as far as their DNA, their tissue, and all those types of things to help align their organs, so that when you fly in, they'll be able to go grab that person, kill them, and take the organs for you. That's why it's called live organ harvesting. And I can't imagine that we actually have people alive today that can get on a plane and say, my life is more important than this other person's life that's a political prisoner being oppressed by this evil dynasty that is operating and controlling the people of China. This is the direction of the New World Order. Because whatever is good for the, you know, the whole of society is what's more important. In other words, the individual rights are going to be completely wiped away. You're going to be told, oh yeah, we value your rights as long as you do what we want you to do. There is no going back once we actually go through this eye of the needle. Now, what we're actually looking at is the fact that they seem like they really want to go to war. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, China is not capable of really extending itself across the globe like the United States. But they are getting there. They're getting there, and they're getting very close. And so what we need to do is we really do need to actually put them on their heels. And the best way to do this is without even having to confront them militarily. The best way to put China on their heels is to actually let them have to deal with the revolutions that will literally spring out in these states that they're harassing, such as Taiwan, Hong Kong, Nepal, and in the Southwest Asia and so forth. Or Southeast Asia, I should say, Southwest Asia. Well, they're actually playing a little bit out there. But in all of these places where they're playing, and they're starting to manipulate and manage and actually start control and starting to use heavy arm tactics, iron fist type of ruling, we have the ability to actually go in and say, why don't you guys look at it? But we have to get rid of the UN. And this is why these petitions that we're writing, and the one petition that we have, will actually seal that deal. And so we'll get into, you know, these petitions in just a minute, but I want to drive this point home, that if you really want to shut them down, we can actually get these nations to start shutting them down. And as China starts to react, and as China starts to become hostile in trying to exert military, violent, hostile threats, then I believe we have the high ground to shut down their meddling and actually use sanctions against their energy consumption. We send them energy, the whole world sends them energy, and they're getting an advantage on all of the energy that they're getting. You want to see a surplus of oil? Shut down China's consumption. In other words, see, China doesn't have these types of resources. Why do you think they're buying so much coal from us in Canada? Why do you think they're buying so much oil? They are so dependent on energy that you take energy away from them, they will be back in the Stone Ages quickly, because they don't have the ability to do it. And it's not like they've got their own nuclear energy plants all over the place. For some reason, they decided to go with fossil fuels. Isn't that interesting? But the point of fact is that what they do and what they are doing is they're offering their labor and making the whole world dependent on them in manufacturing everything for their supply chain, whether that be pharmaceuticals and so forth. China is such an evil player, and we're looking at Russia. Russia's an evil player, too. We're looking at Russia as the big bad guy. The big, big bad guy is China. Russia is equally evil, but they're not, well, I should say equally evil. They are evil, but they're not equally evil like China is lurking in the background. Now, Gog and Magog, this has already hit the news. Gog and Magog are forming alliances, and we're now watching Persia or Iran and Russia and Turkey starting to make their alliance. And that creates a good finger, or I should say a good lane, an avenue to be able to pipe and create flows of commerce, energy, and those types of things, weaponry, from Russia into Iran. So this isn't going to go away. Biblically, we've been told that this is coming, and it has happened. It is happening now. If you don't believe me, go read Isaiah. Now, we cannot turn our heads regarding what China is doing in the southern border either. So a lot of people, and this is being reported, that the cartels are becoming more autonomous or more, you know, they're providing the fentanyl themselves. No. I want you to understand, China has influence. They finally penetrated and are now influencing and controlling cartels, just like they're controlling our government. These guys are that evil. They're maniacal in being able to get into these types of organizations and help them and get in and own them. Corruption works beautifully as long as you're willing to compromise yourselves. This is how politicians constantly get owned by evil players like China, the communists, and so forth. So what needs to happen is we really need to shut down. We need to deploy the militia and shut down. You want to stop flowing of fentanyl? We've got, when we talk about a broad spectrum warfare, and I've been saying this and I've been telling people, we're struggling here in America because our U.S. government is fighting us with a broad spectrum warfare. The fact that they allow the border to maintain it being open, fentanyl is coming in, we've got, you know, the diseases coming in, and that's just the southern border and how we're being attacked in that aspect. It's the same thing with our food, the production of food. It's the same thing with the production of goods, materials here in the United States. Our government is doing everything they can to ship everything overseas to make us dependent. And it's our government who is being controlled by the maniacal Chinese Communist Party. If you don't believe me, start listening to what Trevor Lawton has been saying for a while now. A while. I mean, it's been at least 2 years since he started exposing the enemies within the government and our state. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to point out, and I need to yammer just a little bit about, is conservative entertainers and how they're really missing this ideological divide and how ideologically we operate. A lot of people are talking about, well, you know, the Democrats are seem to be, you know, okay with getting rid of Biden because they're not loyal to the name. Okay, so they kind of walk across this frozen lake, and they don't understand that what they're doing is really failing to dive into the water because they're walking on the ice. The fact is that the communists that are trying to get into office, the political class, this communist political class, doesn't care about names. They're all working on the same agenda, and they will throw each other to the wolves quickly because it doesn't matter. They all know that they will move the ball forward. They're going to score for the Chinese Communist Party control. So, conversely, when we look at the conservatives, it's absolutely different. Conservatives and how we look at our politicians, we don't even look at the agenda. What we do is we look at the individual and that, you know, who embodies the principles that we want, because we actually have demagogues on the conservative side, and they're equally bad. Well, this is why we have to start stripping these quote-unquote principles. This is why I'm going to use the term collective conscience, because America became great because of what its collective conscience was. Its collective conscience was based on truth. It was based on God's law, or the laws of nature, nature's God. It was based on this common knowledge that all people knew that these things were true. And this is how we created such an awesome government. How, I will say, the divine hand of providence inspired such an awesome government. Now, conversely, when we look at what we've got today, it's nowhere close, because now it's just about how they can control tyranny and unconstitutional government. They don't understand. This is why there is such a night and day difference between this constitutional campaign strategy and what Paul Venable is doing in trying to create a national movement. But we don't have time. We'll get into that when we come back from the break.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so before I was interrupted by those promos, what we want to do is we really need to start connecting, and we only have so much time to do this during the week, because I think the content of what we're covering, the ratification debates, and these legal arguments, these legal terms and definitions, is paramount. We got to make time for these things. So one of the things that we have to really start helping you understand is when you look at what the conservatives are doing, and then if you actually start looking at what is happening when somebody runs a campaign, not based on GR. So I know there's a lot of people out there running, and we're helping a few of them. And as a matter of fact, I'm very specifically helping like a campaign manager with a lot of these folks. But technically, I'm not. I don't have to be a campaign manager, because a campaign manager manages agendas. They don't lead. In other words, they're not, because this is a shared or a collective leadership. If you understand the Constitution, if you understand the comprehensive positions that we need to all campaign on, In other words, that list that we went through before we dove into the ratification debates. Remember, I went through a long, it was about 2 months in April, May, and starting and ending up in June. It took me about 2 months to go through this comprehensive list. And the whole point of this comprehensive list was to provide you with these problems, how we're living under government type of rule that does not align with the principles of the Constitution, and actually, in many cases, are being violated by law, or the Constitution, I should say, is being violated by the color of law. So what we want to do is we want to show you the importance of using the First Amendment petition in doing this to actually get your local government and or your state government. So in essence, what's going on in Missouri with Paul Venable's Senate run, he is taking the gusto because here's the advantage he has, folks. He's the Constitution Party candidate. What does that mean? That means that he can't be primaried out and eliminated and silenced by the party machine. Ah, if you understand how the party can manipulate and you go, well, we got really good people. It's just like what's going on in Wyoming. Wyoming has Liz Cheney, but the nice thing is, the reason why Liz Cheney will not survive is because the party machine, because the party actually wants a constitutional supporter instead of a sycophant rhino who's going to go in there and support the globalist agenda. Now, I can tell you that there are some candidates that are better than others. Either way, all candidates that are in that race, in that Republican race, are better than Liz. Now, there is a Constitution Party candidate, and not being able to have any conversations with that candidate, because if that candidate had these conversations, that candidate would actually be leading on the issues instead of trying to fight for relevance. See, the real problem with third party, and any third party will tell you this, is that they are really fighting to just get their ballot access, they're fighting for their relevance, but you don't have to do that if you're standing on top of the mountain and you can point with your finger of judgment down on all of these other candidates of these other parties to say, look, how is this person any different than the rest of these? Now, some may be a little bit better, maybe a little bit higher up the mountain than Liz Cheney in Wyoming, but that doesn't mean anything. So the point is that the First Amendment petition is a constitutional right. Now, I want you to understand this. That means that no government can make any ruling. When I say government within the United States, Congress can't, the president can't do an EO, an executive order, and believe it or not even the Supreme Court. And guess what? The Supreme Court has actually been violating the First Amendment. How? I'll give you the best example, because if you look at what we did with this petition to remove the Biden administration, and then it turned into, actually not remove the Biden administration, but we actually petitioned Congress and told Congress they could not accept that Electoral College. Now, you need to listen to this. This is critical, because do you know people that are shucking or actually saying, that's not going to work? Well, it's not working because we have a Supreme Court that is absolutely in violent violation of the Constitution. How so? Well, we petitioned them via a lawsuit, and we actually got them to serve, and they accepted. So I can't emphasize this enough. When a court moves forward and sends motions out to a defendant, in so doing, they have accepted standing and jurisdiction. A court would never, never send out a motion and then come back and say, we don't have jurisdiction. When that happens, that's almost like a huge admission that they had to play politics on this particular case and they have to back out of it. And that's exactly what the federal courts did with the D.C. federal court on this lawsuit when they came back and said, well, you don't have standing. We already passed that measure. You already acknowledged. But to be clear, folks, and this is the conversation that I've had with Bob Schultz a few times. When they say a U.S. citizen or an organization, whether that be a 501c3, it doesn't matter. Any U.S.-based organization that actually uses a First Amendment petition and actually calls out a violation and holds, basically submits a grievance of a body of government or an individual, and in this case, Congress, violating the Constitution, because we told them they couldn't do this. They needed to do very specific thing, and we argued that point in that lawsuit. The fact of the matter is, folks, that First Amendment petition gave us a standing because they cannot make any law that takes away our ability to hold government accountable. And therefore, when we transitioned the fact that they ignored and did nothing, and then we then sued them because this created a constitutional crisis, and when they came back and even used that concept that you have no standing, then they have basically said that the First Amendment right of petition and a U.S. citizen's privileges and immunities are no longer valid. And I'm telling you, folks, that the Constitution has never been amended to allow the federal court system to be able to take that position. They are duty-bound and they are obligated. So bottom line, we understand it is not about, actually executing. Now, to be clear, we do believe, and I know for a fact, that if we can get enough states, if we actually get some attorney generals to join to this case, it will force the Supreme Court to actually take this case so that the whole world will watch how they will try to play Pontius Pilate in washing their hands from the blood and the damage that they have created to America by allowing this communist, unconstitutionally seated president to continue to be seated. And not go after Congress and say, you must basically remove him and follow the 12th Amendment process. Well, actually, they're supposed to follow the 12th Amendment process to determine whether he should stay or not. Because if they come out, and I'm telling you right now, folks, if you do the head count in the Congress right now today, Biden will be removed. If we do the head count in Congress after the 2023 election or 2022 in the 2023 session, we will find that Biden will really be removed, and he will be removed probably without prejudice. But the fact is, we have to have this conversation begin. And this is why what Paul Venable is doing is really critical. Now, to be clear, I've asked Paul, and I know he's a very busy man. I mean, he's out trying to fight for everybody. What he is doing is, all I can say is it's very humbling to see somebody take the role and responsibility in taking this opportunity of running and literally carrying the weight of the world on this man's shoulders. There's no doubt in my mind that when we have somebody doing that kind of service, we need to do everything and anything and everything we possibly can. Now, I've been trying to connect with Paul and trying to give him, some time to do a travelogue, because what he is doing is really critical. And he is proving the point, my friends. He is proving the point that this campaign strategy works. You don't need a campaign manager if you can actually get your arms around the Constitution and start understanding what it takes to move a county into becoming a constitutional county. You can do this at the state level as well, but I'm just telling you, you have a better chance in getting your whole state to align if you start with your counties first. You're just going to be hitting and missing, and everybody will abandon this. But when we start creating a wave of states, or I should say counties, converting to constitutional counties and forcing states to then get aligned with that, folks, we are getting close to that summit. We're getting close to being on top of that hill. So when we come back,
I want to talk about, you know, context to what we're doing and how we're being divided. We can't allow ourselves to be divided anymore. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I want to give you a quick status on my book or strategies, or not strategies, status on my article. So the article has now wandered into about 40 pages, and we've got some illustrations at the very end. They're going to be the appendices, but and that's a part of that, 40 pages, but bottom line, what I'm doing in this is I'm really trying to create a very comprehensive manual that people can use to and understand why all of these things are so important. So I'm throwing a lot of information into this article. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to make this available for free, and it'll be up there on the website. And eventually, we will move this into a book for those of you. Because what we're going to do is we're going to consolidate all of these articles and kind of streamline them into a book. This way, you'll kind of have a full comprehensive ebook that you'll be able to, you know, listen to, read, what have you. Because I'm not sure if you knew, but you can actually listen to ebooks, PDFs, and so forth. There are applications out there. And I was amazed to find that out because I love audiobooks. But anyway. So that's the status on, you know, the article that I'm working on. And in this article, I'm really emphasizing collective conscience so that we can start, because we can't become an enlightened society until we all start agreeing on very specific things. And the one thing that gets us all into the center of the room is the Constitution. Obviously, I cannot get people to unite religiously. Even the framers couldn't do this, but at least they were able to put aside those differences and agree upon the Constitution in a republican form of government, being the supreme law of the land, must be complied to. So much so that they injected Article 6 of the Oath of Office to demand that every person must comply that serves as a public servant in this constitutional republic. Now, when we look at all of these different organizations, and I've said this before about the sovereign citizen movement, it is one of the most maniacal movements out there. Because if you look at some of these others, like the John Birch Society, if you look at the, you know, the Second Amendment folks, the health freedom folks, you know, they're, you know, do it our way, you know, and this is how we have to do it, and we won't work with anybody else. That's bad. That's very factional. It is divisive at best. And so, divisive at worst, I should say. But the sovereign citizen movement is even more maniacal, because it's not only we're not working with you. What we're doing is we're making ourselves unable to work with you. Because they go down the path of saying, we do not recognize our Constitution anymore. They have committed themselves to this idea that we have to really throw away everything and start all over. If you understand what they are talking about. And so there's many of them that actually, you know, look at many of the things that we do. Everything that we are doing is all founded on the Constitution and based on the enumerated roles, the ratification base, the enumerated responsibilities, powers, properties, all of these things that are enumerated in the Constitution, we hold them fast. And we hold government accountable to those things and those things alone. This is why there is not one person that can refute this argument. There's a lot of people that take this emotional stand because they're emotionally invested. They look and this is all evil. Yes, absolutely. What the government is doing is absolutely evil today. And if you divorce yourself from this constitutional republic, then you have removed yourself from being able to help and being able to fight for others and fight for liberty. You've become very selfish. You've become a person that, you know, is literally only out for saving yourself, and you've actually caused a bigger problem. Because bottom line, we need everybody's body and soul in this fight. And to see patriots being convinced to walk away and to become a part of this evil movement of removing themselves, I mean, I see that as the worst out of all of the divisive factions out there. Even worse than the Convention of State folks. I want you to understand this. At least the Convention of State folks are, you know, still holding on. They're still U.S. citizens. They may be standing in the wrong position on the wrong side of the argument. But bottom line, folks, at least they're not removing themselves. At least they're not disqualifying themselves to be able to vote. You can't vote if you actually go down this path of becoming a sovereign citizen. And so anybody that tries to dismiss the Constitution and tries to dismiss these ratified amendments and the ratification debates and say it's all gone, it's all corrupt, it's no good, you know, we have to actually fight for our citizenship, those people that are doing that are very evil. The people that are convincing people to do this, I should say, are very evil. And so we have to really back out and say, if you're looking at doing that, ask yourself this one question. Where is the evidence that proves that what the federal government has done is legitimate? Because the crux of this whole argument for the, you know, this sovereign citizen movement is all based on the fact that what we have is a legitimate government. Well, we have a legitimate constitution, we have a legitimate framework, but we do not have a legitimate operations of our government. They have basically created this house of cards all on unconstitutional positions. There's nowhere in the Constitution that allowed them to create all of these unconstitutional offices, from the Department of Transportation, or actually we could start off with the Department of Interior, to the Department of Homeland Security. All of these other things that they're doing, everything, the corporations, all the things that these organizations all point to, whether they be the factions or whether they be these the sovereign citizen movements, because there's different sovereign citizen movements, folks. There's not just one. It's just like there's different Second Amendment movements and different health freedom movements. Sorry for the ums. But my point is this, is that when you really boil it down, everything that they're standing on, they have no evidence. And when I say evidence, because they make a claim that the 14th Amendment has language that has created the United States citizens as chattel. Show it to me. It is not there. Show me in the 14th Amendment debates that that's exactly how they defined it. Because when you go through the 14th Amendment debates in Congress, it doesn't exist. There's not one point in time where they term or reference people to becoming subjects to the United States. They only are subject to the Constitution, not the government. And we all have these privileges and immunities that are guaranteed by the Constitution. This is why we're to support and serve the Constitution, not the person in the office, not the party, not the government in general. Not even the ideologies, whether we like the conservative ideology, the Christian ideology, we are to serve that Constitution and support and defend it against enemies foreign and domestic. And this has been completely lost. This is why the winning solution is getting everybody to understand their rights, their privileges and immunities, and that the most powerful tool that we have is the right of petition. That is and has never been removed. It's maybe ignored and is maybe being dismissed by the Supreme Court and other government. But I'm telling you, if you want to get this back, you have to demand that you have this right, and this right will be upheld at your county level. This is how you restore the power of the people at the county level. This is how we take back our constitutional republic, by using the Constitution as our weapon and as our defense. And I'm telling you, folks, this is a campaign strategy. This isn't a legal strategy, which means that all we have to do is let everybody start seeing for themselves what the Constitution says and what these fools, these political operatives are doing, or if you want to call them rulers, because that's what they've moved themselves into. They're no longer public servants. They are rulers. And we can prove that these rulers do not deserve to be in office anymore. The biggest challenge you have is to start identifying, developing, and nurturing people by helping them understand the Constitution, what it means to be a public servant, and what you have to do as a public servant to get us across the finish line in saving this Constitution. This is not hard. This is why the strategy that we've submitted out there is literally for you to have. Now, if I can get a travel log, and if I can start giving Paul Venable and other people's travel logs, what we're going to do is we're going to add travel logs underneath each of the candidates' endorsements so that you'll actually be able to hear their travel logs. If I don't have time during my, you know, Friday feedback section, or, you know, this one day a week that we're doing while we're covering all this other content, because once we're done with the ratification debates, my friends, we're still going through this election, and the election is the priority. We still have to go through the Constitution. Constitution Day is going to be coming up right after the ratification debates. So when we have a little break in between these types of contests, we'll be heavily focused in talking with candidates and so forth. But until then, the one thing I want to emphasize, I know Paul, the one thing Paul needs is he needs financial help. The cost of gas is killing him, and we need you, if you would, can please go online and go help. Give him a gallon of gas. Give him $5. If everybody could do that, that will get him out. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.